Ready, set, go!
Welcome into Checkpoint Esports and Gaming Radio. A complete look at all things esports and gaming. A production of Westwood One. Here are your hosts, Nate Bender, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan.
Checkpoint reached.
Hey, welcome into Checkpoint XP Daily for Tuesday, December 11th, 2018, your home for esports and gaming radio. I want to thank everyone listening on the Talk of Las Vegas, 101.5 FM and 720 AM, as well as KJR 950 in Seattle, Washington. Coming up today on Checkpoint XP Daily, we'll get the latest in esports news from over at the Checkpoint News Desk. And we'll sit down with Nicole Carpenter, reporter for Dot Esports, to discuss the upcoming season of Overwatch. Those discussions are ahead here today on Checkpoint XP Daily. But first, let's check in with Sarah Skopic over at the Checkpoint XP News Desk for a gaming news update.
Gaming news update with Sarah Skopic.
Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt this program to bring you important news.
CheckpointXP.com.
Despite an incredible year in video game sales, the stocks of certain major developers are tanking. A look at the last 2 months show that EA stocks are down 30%, Take-Two is down 25% despite the release of Red Dead Redemption 2, and Blizzard Activision is down 45%.
Do you know who's not on that list?
Okay, who?
Nintendo.
That is true.
And Epic.
But what do you guys attribute this to? Like, I have seen no reason for investors to start running scared.
Except for the FTC. I think they see something and they're reading the tea leaves and they're seeing that maybe a really, really large and widespread monetization model may be going the way of the dinosaur, or at least speculating that some change is coming. So they're being a little conservative.
But that's fair.
Hold on, because these trends go back months before the actual FTC investigation was announced, and especially in the case of Take-Two, I don't think they have any actual loot box related practices.
That's what I was just going to get at, is that EA and Blizzard Activision makes a whole lot of sense if it's the FTC investigation. Take-Two doesn't.
Well, every investor isn't going to be, you know, completely tied into what's happening in terms of the industry and the underpinnings of it. Some of these are just big money people.
Although,
why not?
Robbie, what you're forgetting is that Take-Two also does the 2K games as well,
which have loot boxes,
and those do contain loot boxes. When we think of Take-Two, I think we tend to go towards the Rockstar produced games,
Grand
which
Theft
don't,
5.
And Red Dead Redemption 2. Neither of those have loot boxes, but the 2K games definitely do. And you know what, Norris, you may be right.
Another part of it, I think, too, is more money moving towards investment in companies putting out free-to-play games. You notice you don't see Epic on this list. Riot Games doesn't appear on this list. Companies that are putting out free-to-play titles and kind of thriving on that structure are kind of dodging.
Are those publicly traded companies? I don't even know.
Epic is. Epic, I don't know about Riot, admittedly. Okay. Riot's owned by Tencent. They are.
Okay.
Yeah.
Steam might have some actual competition. Epic Games has launched their own game store, one they report is more fair than Steam. Whereas Steam takes 30% of general sales and 20% for highly profitable games, Epic's service takes 12% across the board. In addition, if the game is developed on the Unreal Engine, Epic will cover 5% of the engine's royalties from the 12% it takes.
I think this is kind of cool. One thing I will say is that when watching the Game Awards this year, boy, did I see a lot of games being advertised as being on the Epic Store.
Really?
Yeah.
There's a lot of good stuff coming out.
Like two or three jumped out to me, but I don't know. I feel like you really got to come correct if you're going to try to take on Steam.
I see.
Epic definitely is in a position to do this, to take a big chunk out of Steam. But I don't know, man. I'm pretty cynical. I've seen a lot of different places try, but not do very well.
I can definitely see this going the way of Origin, unfortunately.
Yes, exactly.
Like, for as lucrative as it sounds from a small developer standpoint,
right,
I mean, it really does have to go against the absolute behemoth of Steam, and I don't know if it could do that.
You
need two factors here. You need the Steam you need the sales, basically, that Steam does, and you need the library. If you don't have those two things, you're not going to be putting a dent in Steam.
That's where Epic is uniquely positioned. position to have an advantage here, though, is they own the Unreal Engine, and
you're
they can
right.
give incentives for anyone who develops on Unreal to put it on the Epic Store.
You're absolutely right. I think that they're going to have the catalog. I don't know that they're going to be smart enough to do the sales.
We'll see.
Sad news for anyone enjoying the new Unreal Tournament game. The free-to-play title is no longer being actively developed for, though it does remain available for download. The company's success and focus on Fortnite is listed as the reason for their shift away from Unreal Tournament.
I'm not surprised.
I'm not either. I mean, who's surprised by this?
No one.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's unfortunate for those few Unreal Tournament fans out there. Like, Norris had said all two of you.
Yeah, they're disappointed, but you know what? They'll move
on. But it makes sense that, you know, they're making so much money with Fortnite. Why not throw all of your development power?
You'll move on now.
Yeah, exactly.
In a weird bit of news, rapper Soulja Boy has released a handheld game console. The Soulja Game boasts having 3,000 plus built-in games across the Neo Geo, Game Boy Advance, Game Boy Color, and something called the FC, CP1, and MD. It can be yours on sale for $99.99. $100 off its original price. Help me out here. What are those other consoles?
Hey, guys, don't.
The human era is over.
Don't forget that sweet 3x3-inch screen.
Oh, yeah. What's the CP1?
It doesn't matter because he's about to lose what little money he had left in the pending lawsuit.
Yeah, because there's like actual Nintendo games on this thing.
Yeah, no, there's definitely.
It's not kosher.
This is definitely not going to fly. This is definitely not going to fly.
Did you guys see the mock-up picture of it? How awful that little handheld looks.
That looks terrible.
Speaking of rising from the ashes, a new Tony Hawk game is on its way and will be releasing this week. Tony Hawk's Skate Jam will be available on Android and iOS devices on December 13th. The two main game modes will be a classic career mode as well as, quote, global skate jam tournaments.
I heard the other working title for this. The other working title for this was Tony Hawk Immortal.
No.
Look. Tony Hawk has fallen from the good graces of being considered a decent game. So maybe it's got to crawl back with a mobile game.
I think it would actually control fairly well on a phone.
You know, it might not. I don't know.
It might not. You're right.
It might not. I think that, you know, skateboard games didn't control very well on a controller.
How about just
put out a port of Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 2 and call it a day, because, and everybody would be happy.
It doesn't get much better than that, does it?
Well, no. The thing is, if you make a new original game, then it's easier to put in the Battle Royale mode.
Oh, jeez.
Shut up, Robbie.
China has started a new panel to vet online video games for the safety of their adolescent consumers. China's State Administration of Press and Publications have already denied 9 of the 20 titles presented to them. The 11 games that did pass inspection, however, were told to make adjustments due to controversial content. The authorities report that most concerns stem from violence and potential addictive quality of these games.
See, now this is the thing. We're talking about the FTC investigation. I'm not necessarily saying China is anywhere near in the same league as America when it comes to creative liberties or anything like that, but the fact that they're citing potential addictive qualities is part of their rubric for measuring
that
these
should
games.
Raise some red flags.
That should raise all the red flags.
Absolutely.
No pun intended.
Twitch streamer Mr. Deadmoth has recently been arrested following an incident of domestic abuse. While live on stream, he was observed first telling his wife Grace that he will be done playing with Fortnite soon. The altercation escalated after Grace threw something at him. When Mr. Deadmoth goes off screen, an audible smack is heard, followed by Grace crying. Both were arrested, but she was later released.
This is terrible.
That's a hard video to watch, by the way.
It really is. It's
shocking.
Pretty terrible. We pulled it up and took a look at it all together, and we were all sick to our stomachs.
That's terrible, man.
And that's all for the Checkpoint XP Gaming News Update. For more, head on over to our website, checkpointxp.com.
Thanks, Sarah, for the update. Epic Games is facing some legal trouble now. Rapper 2 Milli is suing Epic Games, saying that they stole the Swipe It emote. And I'm glad that we finally get to talk about this. This has been a story floating out around out there for a while. And this rapper 2 Milli is trying to claim that Fortnite took his dance.
Yeah, and here's the thing is that, you know, I'm not sure what the ruling is on can a dance be intellectual property or whatnot, but I think Epic has definitely, and games by an entire extension, have kind of opened themselves up to a legal gray area. I'm not going to necessarily say that, you know, 2 milli should win or lose based on that, but it's a gray area. And I think, you know, there are certain lawyers who I think could see this, certain judges who could see this as an IP and rule against Epic. I think they might as well just settle out of court, to be honest.
You know, I think that that's probably the best thing that Epic could probably do, considering that, you know, heavy hitters from the hip hop scene like Chance the Rapper have gotten involved in this discussion, talking about the way that Epic is making a ton of money on the backs of some of these emotes and these dances and skins. And, you know, don't just let them come in and you know, co-opt that from you. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
you have some ability and some control over the things that you make, and you should exert that control. And I think that, you know, yeah, games are really going to come under fire if, you know, because World of Warcraft did that. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that
League of Legends has dances.
Games borrow enough from popular culture that if we're, I mean, I just don't want to see a nuclear arms race happen here where people are just like suing left and right for.
I don't want to see someone who does a dance on their YouTube channel and they're getting sued by someone because they co-opted a dance.
Exactly.
Well, but I still think the thing is that, you know, when you have stuff like that, because all these things have been monetized, that is what brings in the legal issue. World of Warcraft, I think, got away with it because, you know, those emotes are just added into the game. Yeah,
exactly. Because Fortnite is actually, and Epic by extension, is making money off of those. And I think that is actually the difference maker. But listen, we want to hear from you. Has Epic put themselves in a bad spot? Should you be able to trademark something like a dance? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Still ahead on Checkpoint, we'll welcome in Nicole Carpenter, writer for .esports, to discuss Season 2 of Overwatch. That discussion will wrap up today's Checkpoint XP Daily. But ahead next, we'll check in with Sarah over at the Checkpoint News Desk.
Black Ops 4 season was finally held. We'll tell you about who won.
Stick around. That discussion is ahead next on Checkpoint XP.
This is Checkpoint, Esports and Gaming Radio. This is Checkpoint, Esports and Gaming Radio. CheckpointRadio.com.
Welcome back to Checkpoint XP Daily. My name's Nate Bender. So glad to have you locked in with us. I want to thank everyone listening on 98.5, the Sports Hub of Boston. And big shout out and thank you to them for helping us out with last weekend's broadcast from the Boston Uprising Collegiate Cup, as well as the Team 980 in Washington, D.C. Still ahead here on Checkpoint XP Daily, we'll sit down with Nicole Carpenter, writer for .esports, to talk about Overwatch League. That conversation will wrap up today's Checkpoint XP Daily. But first, let's check in with Sarah Skopic over at the Checkpoint XP News Desk and get an eSports gaming update.
Gaming News Update with Sarah Skopic.
Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt this program to bring you important news.
CheckpointXP.com.
The first open event of the 2019 Black Ops 4 season was held at the Hard Rock Cafe in Las Vegas, with over 250 teams competing. First place was awarded to Optic Gaming, who won a prize of $100,000. They edged out E-United, who still took home a hefty $60,000.
Wow.
Yeah, nice prizes, and I'll say this, too. I don't usually see tons of, like, great feedback about Call of Duty events. Like, they always, you know, there's a certain demographic that is into them.
Sure.
And that's kind of it. This, pretty universally over, you know, Twitter and social media, I'm seeing people praise this event that it went pretty well.
Well, it seems like Blizzard is applying a lot of what they've learned with, you know, with the Overwatch League to CWL. And, I mean, you know, Blizzard, Activision,
they're really
the same company. I think that, yeah, there's been a lot that they've learned just about presenting esports that has really helped them over there at the CWL. So hopefully they're going to keep growing and keep coming up, because it doesn't make sense to not have a strong Call of Duty scene, right?
Every single time I log on to Twitter, Golden Boy specifically, like, raves about the way that they're handling this.
No
game.
Kidding. Well, good for them.
You know what? The only thing that really bothers me about it is that they start their 2019 season in December.
In 2018.
December 2018. Start
that
in January.
That is really weird.
Wait a month, guys.
Yeah, seriously.
Team Liquid has won first place win at the Megafon Winter Clash. Members of the team will be taking home a prize of $150,000. Despite their tight matches with both Team Secret and Na'Vi, Team Liquid once again shows their dominance in the Dota Pro Circuit.
Wow, Team Liquid again coming out and showing their dominance. That is really awesome.
Over the last, 2 years now, they won the International 2 years ago.
2 years ago,
Didn't win it this most recent year, but they've been on fire. I mean, Team Liquid, solid team.
Yeah.
KDA's song Pop Stars stormed onto the scene at the grand finals of the League of Legends World Championship. After topping charts for a while, the song has now passed another milestone, 100 million views on YouTube.
Now, I don't think that this can be, downplayed in the least.
No.
I think this is the first time that we've seen a crossover hit from esports into, popular culture, mm-hmm. right? And it's not just a Korean pop music phenomenon. This is starting to break into charts here in the U.S. as well. And I mean, hitting 100 million streams on YouTube is big no matter what way you slice it. Congratulations to Riot. They've really come up with something very brilliant here. Possibly their best piece of marketing in a decade. I love it.
No, it's absolutely great. And I can tell you now, man, this is going to hit like Ellen or something, and it's going to take it to a whole nother. This could be Gangnam Style all over again
if it gets
to the right
people.
It
very well could be, yeah.
I don't want to cut into the success that they're finding, but I mean, I account for 20 million of those viewers. So, I mean, someone else might like it a lot.
A look ahead to the next generation shows that women are about to play a much larger role in the esports scene. A study out of the UK showed that 15% of all girls now watch esports. In addition, more girls aged 13 to 15 participate in esports than boys of the same age group. And more girls aged 13 to 15 watch esports live than boys of the same age group. Finally, 84% of teen girls now spend at least some of their time gaming as opposed to 75% last year.
I will say this is probably, for me, one of the best pieces of news and data to
come out
of the esports world in a long time.
Also, least surprising, though, I mean, it's been popping off like this over in South Korea for how long now?
Right. Well, and I think, one of the things that really struck me about the Renegades event that Joe and I attended down in Beacon Park was that there did seem to be quite a few girls that were there that were genuinely interested in what was going on.
What would you put the split at? Like maybe 30%
female? Yeah.
I was about to say, it was 60-40 at OWO when we were able to go to Burbank.
And I mean, yeah, I don't think that you can ignore that kind of stuff.
Well, it was only just a couple years ago, there's officially now more women gamers than men gamers, right?
Yeah.
How about we all shut up and ask the woman in the room how she feels about it?
I think it's great, and I think it's true. I mean, I think a lot of people really don't consider as far as how many women do play games and how acceptable it is, and so I think it's definitely something that needs to be, especially seen as far as games that are towards women.
Right. Well, and I think it's become less taboo to be into games as a woman, right?
As a human.
Well, I mean, as a human, but specifically as a woman, there's been specific pushback against that kind of stereotype that only certain types of people are into games. And I think that that has done, kind of doubly for women being able to come out and say, yeah, dude, I just love this stuff.
There's that one specific demographic that is very against women getting into gaming, that very cringy, disgusting demographic that we have to deal with.
4chan.
Pretty much 4chan. But anyone outside of that, it's way more acceptable than it used to be.
Absolutely.
Esports is closing out a monster year in terms of viewership. League of Legends, Overwatch, CSGO, and Dota 2 clocked in a combined 190 million hours of viewership from their respective world championships. League of Legends lead the way with 80 million hours, followed by CSGO's E-League Major, Dota 2's International, and Overwatch League's Finals.
I saw a graphic that showed that more people watched Worlds than watched the NBA Finals and the World Series.
I believe it.
I would absolutely believe that. You have global appeal, first mm-hmm. of all, with League of Legends, so you have that as an advantage.
It's interesting to watch.
You don't need cable.
That's a big one. There's no need for cable.
I mean, you have to have internet of some kind to get out there. But everyone has a phone, and even that you can generally mm-hmm. watch Twitch on.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I totally get that.
Astralis has taken first place in the Season 8 of the ESL Pro League. Along with their winning title, they will also be awarded $1 million for winning Season 1 of the Intel Grand Slam, which is given to the first team to win 4 out of 10 events in a consecutive time frame.
I completely forgot about that.
But Cloud9, quote-unquote, was team, quote-unquote, of the year. Again, Cloud9, the organization, by far and away, the best out of everyone. Astralis was the single best team in one esport in the entire year, point blank period.
If only it wasn't CSGO.
But that's why Cloud9 got the nod. Not enough people, including myself, when looking at that rundown of teams from the Game Awards, was able to separate out Cloud9 from the London Spitfire. We all just glanced over that and went, oh, okay, yeah, Cloud9, because of how dominant that they've been in all of their different games.
So, but if
it was
not
a structural problem on the part of the Game Awards.
Of course it was. And if the Game Awards isn't going to have that nuance, then how do they expect everyone else to?
That's fair.
That's all for the Checkpoint XP Esports Gaming Update. For more, head on over to our website, checkpointxp.com.
Thanks, Sarah, for the update. We've been keeping a close eye on the PUBG esports scene. Earlier this year, we learned that 6 regional PUBG leagues would be forming, and North America's National PUBG League has now found a home.
Yeah, so we just got the unveiling of the OGN Super Arena. I don't know if you guys have gotten to take a look at this
Where is this?
It is in California, I want to say. I mean, like all of them, they're near LA.
Yeah,
but it's like the Burbank Arena for Overwatch, where you know all the audience is facing the stage, but their stage is broken into like these 4 columns with like 5 rows up on each of them. Each one of those like banks will hold 4 people, so that's 80 players.
PUBG squares.
Yeah, kind of.
Hollywood squares.
I like that.
Hollywood squares for PUBG.
I like that analogy.
So, yeah, they'll be able to seat 80 players. Overall, it's pretty impressive, and it does tackle, you know, one of those major issues that we've continued to identify with casting games like PUBG is how do we get that many people?
How do you get them all in the same space and be able to present that in a forward way?
Stack them up.
Verticality ends up becoming the key to that, and we've seen that, though. Mm-hmm. We've seen it in other PUBG competitions where they have put teams on risers or on, planes right there. That's actually a really smart way to do it.
So yeah, Norris, you were just able to get the pictures up. What do you think of this?
It's not so much Hollywood squares as it is each team is sort of up a stair.
It's sort of like a wedding cake.
To me, it looks like a college lecture hall.
It looks like a lecture hall.
That's what I think of. I think of when I'm back in school or something.
Yeah, it looks like a big lecture hall.
Okay.
But only you're where the professor would be. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Here's the thing. We need to see how is this going to translate into like actually watching PUBG play.
So far
they've had one event there. They had a bunch of celebrities kind of on hand doing a tournament for charity sort of thing. We need to see if this is going to translate into being able to put on a competitive show that someone actually wants to watch on a week over week basis. And the biggest thing that we're going to have to deal with there is, okay, 80 players in the North America region now.
Yeah.
It's not going to be, you know, the 80 best players from around the world coming in. These are going to be your 80 best in North America.
And is that going to drive the talent pool down? Am I going to be as interested to watch that as I have been other PUBG tournaments where the skill gap is much higher? I don't know. We'll see. We want to hear from you. Would you want to check out the Super Arena and take in some PUBG action? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Coming up next on Checkpoint XP Daily, we'll sit down with Nicole Carpenter, writer for Dot Esports, to talk some shop about Overwatch Season 2. Stick around. That conversation is ahead next on Checkpoint XP Daily from Beasley Esports XP and Westwood One.
This is Checkpoint Radio. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at checkpointradio.com. This is Checkpoint Esports and Gaming Radio. CheckpointRadio.com.
Hey, welcome back to Checkpoint, Esports and Gaming Radio. Want to thank everyone listening on the Fanatic in Philadelphia, as well as everyone listening on ESPN Pittsburgh. Joining us now is Nicole Carpenter, writer and reporter for .esports. Nicole, welcome to Checkpoint.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Nicole, can you tell the audience a little bit about what you do at .esports and how you got into covering esports?
Sure. Yeah, like you said, I am a writer and reporter at .esports. I mainly focus on Overwatch, but I do dabble a little bit in kind of gaming culture and sort of the business of esports. But I got into esports first as a fan when I was in high school. I was really into Halo, and I went to events as a spectator. I was never good enough to, you know, be a potential pro or anything, but yeah, I started as a fan and eventually, you know, went to college, got a degree in writing, and started writing from there.
Well, Nicole, I can relate to that. I got my start in my interest in esports with Halo as well. LAN parties and trying to cram 16
exactly.
people into a basement. I totally get that.
Yeah, bringing your console and your TV to your friend's house, like
oh, yes.
classic.
Whichever TV your mom would let you take out of the house. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, you know, it started on early PCs as well. That's, you know, I remember lugging all of my PC gear across campus to be able to go to, you know, different parties and stuff like that.
So we got a ton of new information about the upcoming season for Overwatch League, but one of the biggest drops was the announcement of road matches. And I got to know, what's that going to do to the league?
Yeah, I think that this is a really cool way to sort of test out the city-based structure that the Overwatch League has been promising since it was announced. You know, the city-based structure isn't coming until 2020, according to some reports. It's not really been confirmed yet. But this is a cool way to bring the Overwatch League to the fans and test out, are these cities going to be ready for this? Do the fans want this? And I think that answer is yes.
Well, and first of all, with the road matches, I think that's also an awesome way because we haven't really seen a lot of the groundswell that we've seen like we saw mm-hmm. in Southern California where OWL is currently located.
Right.
This is a great opportunity for them to get out and really get in front of the masses. But the matches for OWL this season have been reduced to 28 per team. Do you think that should be increasing the quality of play that we should be seeing?
Oh yeah, of course. I think this is a great change. It's less stress on the players, but for fans, there are still just as many, actually there are more games to watch this season because there are, you know, more teams in the league. But this gives teams a lot more time to prepare and prepare specifically for the team that they're playing in their next match. So the quality of play is going to go up because teams are going to be ready for each other and they're going to be kind of theory crafting, like making more in-depth strategies specifically for their opponents.
Well,
and that's something super exciting.
Well, exactly, because, you know, in the NFL, you play one game a week. You know, you don't have mm-hmm. to worry about multiple teams a week. And a lot of times, even in baseball, you don't have to worry about that. You have a home stand, you have a road trip.
Right.
You play that team three times, and then you don't worry about it that much.
Well, not to mention, by the end of last season, we were, as a more casual viewer of Overwatch League, by the end of the season before the playoffs started, I was kind of getting to that, oh my gosh, are the playoffs here yet?
Well, yeah, and
exactly.
You're starting to see the same matchups again and again, and that, I think, tends to be a little bit disinteresting for the viewer.
Yeah, but shifting gears a little bit, I want to talk about meta. So we have the new hero, Ashe. What effect do you think she'll have on the meta, and do you think she can overthrow GOATs at any point? Because GOATs meta is so strong right now.
I know. It feels like everything is GOATs now. You know, it's in my games. It's in pro games. It feels like GOATs will never go away. But I think, personally, I think GOATs is an interesting meta. But as for Ashe, I'm not sure exactly. I think that there's still so much time before the Overwatch League begins that anything could really overthrow GOATs at this point. But I do think that Ashe is a really cool hero who has a super high skill ceiling. And so seeing her in the Overwatch League is going to be really, really exciting because that's going to be Ashe at her highest level, like Ashe as she's designed to be played.
You're listening to Checkpoint XP. We're sitting down with Nicole Carpenter, reporter and writer for .esports. With the expansion teams now fully announced, do any of them actually have a shot at the playoffs or even the title?
Runaway. I mean, Vancouver.
Yeah. That's what, like, honestly, that's who I'm going for. Like, Runaway is the best contenders team, you know, not only in Korea, but in the world. So if any of the expansion teams have the shot, it's Vancouver. They have that synergy They're Vancouver. They're runaway.
Yeah, but another team that I think a lot of people should be looking at is the Spark. The Spark has a really, really good core, and you know they have a front line that starts Gushue from China, who, in my opinion, is one of the best tanks in the world. Do you think they could make some moves as well?
Yeah, I think Spark's a really interesting team because they have these really great players, but we don't exactly know how they're going to work together. But I'm putting my hope into Spark because I just love the pink branding.
So, well, we've got trades going off left and right. It's been a very busy offseason. What do you think the most important move of the offseason has been so far?
Well, going off the last question, I think Vancouver picking up Runaway, that's like the most important pickup and like probably the biggest move of the offseason. But if we're talking individual players, I think Stryker moving from Boston to San Francisco Shock is like such a huge get for San Francisco and a big loss for Boston.
I follow League of Legends a lot closer than I do Overwatch, and we're coming off the offseason there, and there's been tons of upheaval and tons of movement. Mm-hmm. And people usually get really excited to see how all the teams change. I'm wondering if that's going to be the same sort of thing in Overwatch. Do you think Overwatch League is going to benefit or kind of be hampered by how much the teams are changing in between seasons?
I think it's, at this point, because it's the second season, I do think that it's a good thing that players are kind of testing out different players, testing out what works and like what kind of players work for them. I think that something that I like about traditional sports is that the core basis of the teams don't change that much from season to season. That's something I'm looking forward to kind of in the future of the Overwatch League. But for now, I think, yeah, go for it. Like, go crazy. And for a team, one of the biggest upheavals was Shanghai Dragons, and they needed that.
Well, their record actually, I think, speaks for itself. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Literally.
But
they needed that.
Can you speak to the fact of how unique it is that all the Runaways got signed to Vancouver? That's not something that you see terribly often in esports and indeed even professional sports. And I'm just wondering if you have any insight into that.
Yeah, it's really big. And I think that synergy that the team already has is super important for the team and for their success in the league. There were some teams in the first season who picked up, you know, majority rosters. Seoul Dynasty has a core basis of Lunatic High, one of the more popular contenders teams, but it didn't really work out for them in the first season for, you know, a number of reasons.
Right.
But Runaway is on a high right now, so we're hoping that they could continue that into the Overwatch League.
Well, I know you briefly mentioned the Spark, and we have to ask before we let you go, what expansion team has the best branding and who has the just worst, most awful branding you've seen?
Well, you know, I mentioned the pink. I have like a real, like an internal conflict with the Spark because I love the pink and I love their social media brand. I love the emojis and everything, but like the finger gun.
Yeah,
it's pretty bad.
A finger gun,
yeah. Really?
But I do love Vancouver Titans. I love the Bigfoot logo. It looks really professional and it's cool. And their announcement was just really, really exciting.
Oh, but those colors, colors.
Listen,
you have to choose the colors.
Not
right?
to be all edgy and Mr. Edgelord, but the Toronto Defiant really, I think, came away with the branding there.
Ugh.
Well, I mean, Nicole, to your point about the Bigfoot logo, is it does strike me as like a traditional hockey logo. That's
what
it looks like.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
Debatable if it's good or bad, maybe.
Yes, exactly.
I like it. My worst branding is Atlanta Rain. It reminds me of Pokemon Go.
Yes, we said the exact same thing. Team Valor. That's exactly it.
Yeah.
Nicole Carpenter has been our guest here on Checkpoint XP, writer and reporter for Dot Esports. Nicole, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you for having me. It was a pleasure.
Thanks again to Nicole for her time. Make sure you check out Dot Esports at dotesports.com. We want to hear from you. How excited are you for Season 2 of the Overwatch League? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Well, that's going to do it here for Checkpoint XP Daily, the first internationally syndicated show on esports and gaming for radio. Visit our website, checkpointxp.com, for insight on esports and gaming, as well as our growing collection of podcasts and interviews. Join us Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. Our theme is provided by the band Weird At Last. Find more at weirdatlast.com. Checkpoint XP Daily is a production of Beasley Esports XP. Thanks to our executive producing team of Buzz Knight,
Mike Thomas, and Rick Scott. Lead segment producing by Joe Sloan. Producing and booking help from Christine Corpus. Big thanks to Sarah Skopik at the news desk, and of course my co-hosts who pulled double duties as producers for Checkpoint, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan. My name's Nate Bender. Keep listening.
You've been listening to Checkpoint Radio, a complete look at all things esports and gaming. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at checkpointradio.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.